And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the programme. The 27th of June, it's 4 minutes past nine, and we're here for the next 3 hours of the 9 to Noon Show. Lots of things to discuss over the course of the morning, including the EU Migration Pact signed into law last night by the Dáil. A narrow enough margin, isn't it? Just 6 votes, I think, separating those in favour of it and those against, but it now is locked in for the long term. That is democracy, I suppose, but anyway, many people out there are not overjoyed with it. We'll be talking about that a little later on in the programme. That and so much more besides. WhatsApps and texts, we invite them to 086 60 25,000. If texting isn't your thing, don't forget you can send a voice note to WhatsApp, 086 60 25,000. If you want to give us a call, 07491 25,000, and email comes to us via comments at highlandradio.com. You can watch the show as always at home on your smart TV or your Fire Stick if you wish. Just open up YouTube and type in Highland Radio Ireland. You'll see we're live, and you can take us with us, take us with you on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on X at Highland Radio. The Tyrconnell Tribune reports of big changes afoot, and this is a story we'll have plenty of reaction to a little later on in terms of policing in this county. Donegal's 4 Garda divisions are being reduced to 2 operational locations from the autumn. The biggest changes ever in Garda operations in the county will see services being managed in Letterkenny and Ballyshannon from the autumn. The Inishowen Peninsula will now be integrated into Letterkenny, and along with the transfer of services from Milford, this will create the North Donegal Division. The rest of the county will become known as Donegal South, run out of Ballyshannon. The Milford District Headquarters, along with the Office of the Garda Superintendent, will be lost to Letterkenny, and this will add to a substantial reduction in administration amid fears that the local Garda station will no longer operate on a 24-hour basis. It's not immediately clear, though, how many Gardaí or administration staff will remain in Milford, although there is a public viewpoint that numbers cannot fall much lower than they are at present. Almost all of Milford's outlying stations are already closed, and none of them is expected to open again. The current Milford area, stretching from Fanna to Tory Island, along with other areas of the former Glenties district, will now be divided between Letterkenny and Ballyshannon. So a whole swathe of the south of the county now will come out of Ballyshannon, as well as the reference here to the more northern part of the county. These changes will see the transfer of Garda operations in areas of West Donegal, including Chrysla, Falkara, Gwydor and the Rosses, and other parts of the former Glenties district going to either Letterkenny or Ballyshannon. The Ballybuffet Garda station area will also transfer there, according to sources. Progress on these changes to create a new policing model stalled last August as the local and European elections added a political dimension to the concept of policing the county's most remote locations. So it was taken off the table effectively whilst the elections played out. And it didn't feature much policing as an election issue, it has to be said. These changes aren't in effect yet, of course. They come into effect in autumn. And as I say, we've got a range of guests joining us a little later on to express their views on that. And what are the ramifications for it? I haven't been in a Garda station physically for a very long time. So I'm not sure how much I'd be affected personally by a Garda station not being there any longer. But if it does affect how policing is done in the community and the surrounding areas of that, then of course it does have ramifications. But we'll tease all of that out. But get your views in nice and early on that to 086 60 25,000. The Donegal News, permission to practice on the Loretto Letterkenny's Steinway piano in advance of a 15-year-old getting ready to sit at Royal Irish Academy of Music exam changed the life of a Milford teenager from which he has never looked back. Gerard O'Donnell was practicing his piece on the piano as people milled about the hall setting up for a recital in the convent that evening. He became conscious of someone watching him close by. To his shock and surprise, the internationally acclaimed pianist John O'Connor told him to keep playing, but told him in a very posh Dublin accent that while he was talented, his technique needed work. Thus began his mentoring by the famous maestro and an amazing journey which now sees Gerard living in Spain, playing and composing. More on that story on the front of and inside the Donegal News this morning. The Derry News A Derry dentistry practice has announced that it would be restructuring its practice. A Great James Street Dental told patients the decision has come due to rising costs and the impending crisis in the NHS dental care sector. Maeve Owens, owner of the practice, lobbied politicians for years, hoping to find a solution to save it. But as things got worse, she felt she had to make this very difficult decision. Dr. Owens said, "The people of Derry have been really good to me and I have loved every bit of it, but the last few years have been incredibly challenging." On to the Nationals now, and the story of Cathal Crotty and his victim continues to make the front pages today, and lots of coverage inside as well. The front of the Irish Times, as I mentioned, the Defence Forces Management hopes to be able to expel soldier Cathal Crotty by early next week following his conviction for beating a woman unconscious in Limerick in 2022. Last Thursday, Crotty, 22, received a suspended sentence for violently attacking Natasha O'Brien on the street after she asked him to stop shouting homophobic abuse at passers-by. In the hours after the attack, Crotty, an army private from County Clare, boasted to friends on Snapchat, "Two to put her down, two to put her out," in reference to striking Miss O'Brien four times. Noting the impact a custodial term could have on the soldier's career, Judge Tom O'Donnell imposed a 3-year suspended sentence and ordered Crotty to pay €3,000 in compensation to Miss O'Brien. And that case has prompted significant public and political controversy, with thousands taking part in protests over the weekend in support of Miss O'Brien and against the leniency of the sentence. So it turns out his army career is going to be over in any case. The Irish Independent reports that a bomb threat has been made against the home of Taoiseach Simon Harris. The threat led to a security alert at the Taoiseach's Wicklow home last night while his wife and young children were present. And such is the way the world is going at the moment, for right or wrong. He actually got a reasonable bit of traction on social media last evening suggesting that a white flag. Is it white flag again? What do you call it? The terminology anyway. That this simply never happened, and that this was designed to take the headlines away from the vote on the EU election, the EU migration pact. That's, and a lot of people actually believed it. It seemed to get an awful lot of traction. But anyway, I'll start the read again. A bomb threat has been made against the home of Taoiseach Simon Harris. The threat led to a security alert at the Taoiseach's Wicklow home last night while his wife and young children were present. The Independent understands that a person rang the Samaritans helpline and stated that the bomb had been placed at the house of Mr. Harris while also giving a code word. Gardaí rushed to the home where a search was carried out. No device was found and the Taoiseach's family did not have to be evacuated. While the incident is now being treated as a hoax, security sources have expressed serious concerns. "This is outrageous. This is a family home," one source said. On to the Irish Daily Mail now, and Virgin Media is in line for a slice of the pie of public money after Media Minister Catherine Martin told Cabinet that RTE's rival must form part of discussions on funding public broadcasting. In March, the Irish Mail on Sunday revealed that Virgin Media had written to the minister seeking $30 million a year in funding for its public service output. Cabinet sources have now confirmed to this newspaper that Ms. Martin wants the rival station included in the ongoing talks. The government's expected to make a decision next month on a new funding model for the controversy-stricken state broadcaster. I'll quickly go to page six. But the coalition parties remain divided about the pathway forward. Green Party TD Miss Martin favours funding public broadcasting directly through the Exchequer, but Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are staunchly opposed to this and prefer a reformed TV licence at a reduced rate which would be collected by revenue. Miss Martin said a large portion of the funding for public service media already comes directly from government coffers. Would you be happy to see Virgin Media getting 30 mil out of that taxpayers' money? Listen, everyone praises RTE, and rightly so, for their good work that they do in terms of, you know, some of their exposés and what have you. But that's because they've got the resources. You know, any media organisation could do that type of work if they had the money to pay staff to spend the long amount of time it takes to create such output. So why not have another player in the game? The Irish Farmers Journal: the expected opening of the 20 million National Beef Welfare Scheme is unclear, with Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnell non-committal on the date. Suckler farmers with autumn and early spring-born weanlings are increasingly anxious that they could miss out on payments as sales dates approach. On to the Irish Star now this morning. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien, he's defended houses in an affordable scheme costing nearly €500,000. Correspondence sent to councillors this week shows the minimum purchase price of a house at the Oscar Traynor Wood site in Coolock, Dublin, range from £264,000 to £399,000 as part of the affordable housing programme. Now, this is an actual scheme. A discount is given if the council and government take an equity stake in the home. Buyers going over a lower equity stake will pay up to €475,000 for a three-bed semi-detached. As he opened a new housing development in Dublin yesterday, Mr. O'Brien was asked if he believed €475 could be considered affordable under the scheme. He said very few people would end up paying this much for the homes. When the Star pointed out that the homes he was talking about were not affordable, he argued there is a range. Meanwhile, more than 7 in 10 struggling to pay their bills at the end of the month. They are struggling after forking out for rent. I mean, I don't know in any scenario how €500,000 could be seen as affordable anywhere at all. But then again, if he sees that as affordable and that's how much it costs to deliver a house, he maybe needs to take another look at the defective concrete block scheme where he's asking people to rebuild their homes for much less than what he might categorise as affordable. Many of you out there have been following the Jay Slater story. It's one of those ones that obviously there's a missing person involved, and I'm not in any way trivialising that, but you know, the internet sleuths have become involved in this, and some of the theories on this are crazy. But the story is obviously that of a missing person, but I've not seen too often, once or twice before, a story where there is so much social media speculation and activity, and people, regular people, in a bungalow in Somerset trying to crack the case. But anyway, missing Jay Slater was seen celebrating at a bar while watching the Euros, mayor in Tenerife claims. Jay vanished last Monday, sparking a frantic police search with helicopters, drones and sniffer dogs. But locals claim they spotted the 19-year-old on the coast 10 hours after his last phone call. The mayor revealed several people in the resort town of Los Gigantes, is it, had told police that Jay had been seen watching the football tournament. Emilio Jose Navarro said police have interviewed people who could have seen him. Some think they saw him celebrating in a bar during the Euro matches. He added police are studying CCTV images. But as I say, that is a story that just has so much interest. Taylor Swift's Seismic Eras Tour concerts in Dublin this week may even set off earthquakes, researchers have revealed. Boffins are even placing seismometers outside the Aviva Stadium to ensure the ground-shaking activities generated by Swifties during the three concerts. The data measured at the Aviva will be used to work out what songs are fan favourites and what's happening inside the stadium. I'm not really sure it's going to determine what songs are fan favourites, because, of course, you could have a very slow song that most people favour, that people aren't jumping up and down for. And you could have a faster song that isn't necessarily a fan favourite and they'd be hopping around the place. So I wouldn't use that to measure it. Look at streams on Spotify. That work's already done for you, folks. You don't need to set up seismic meters. The seismometers is a very sensitive instrument which measures ground vibrations and can be used to detect earthquakes. Okay, there you go. I saw pictures yesterday of people already queuing well in advance for the merch stands. Just they were queuing for the merch stands. Crazy. Not crazy, sorry, I don't mean crazy as in it's the wrong thing to do. I mean, it's just crazy how in the pejorative sense, how big fans are, how devoted fans can be, if that makes sense. Right, we got an email in, and we've posted this on our social media as well. You can have a look at it and make a comment if you so wish. But it came in as follows. Please ask Greg to give a shout out to anyone with an opinion or judgment. Please think before you speak. When you see and hear children throwing tantrums, shouting, crying in public, please think before you speak. When a person stands in your way not moving, suck it up, move around them. They either have no manners or you have none. Please think before you speak. I was told by an older lady today I should have left my 49-year-old husband at home while grocery shopping. I told her that would be hard when he has dementia. Maybe you should mind your manners. Her apologies were useless. Whilst out and about this summer, says our correspondent, just mind your own business. Step around the person not moving or the child that isn't having a great day and move on with your perfect life. Or is it? So you can what effectively happened here is this person's out with their husband, just 49 years of age. He has dementia. I don't know how that was. I don't know how that impacted his behaviour in the shop, but someone thought they needed to intervene and tell the woman to leave her husband at home. And then it was pointed out to her that he has dementia, and then she apologised. But this listener says the apologies are useless. So what do you think? Has that been an experience of yours? We do talk about that on the radio quite a bit, you know, people with conditions that may make it appear maybe they're intoxicated or something along those lines. As I say, if that resonates with you, let us know. 086 60 25,000, or you can give us a call as always on 07491 25,000. Okay, so as many of you would be aware, Donegal at one point had five districts in Donegal, five Garda districts. That was brought down to four, and now from November it appears that it's going to be reduced to two operating locations. The biggest changes ever in Garda operations in this county. Services will be managed out of Letterkenny and Ballyshannon from the autumn. It is yet to be fully decided what will be encompassed in Letterkenny and Ballyshannon, but you can probably work it out geographically, looking at the map But anyway, to discuss this further, we've got a number of guests. We're going to say good morning first to Councillor Jerry McMonagle, Chair of the Joint Policing Committee. Thank you very much for joining us, Jerry. You know, there is some speculation in the paper today that this was a decision that was deferred until we got over the local and European elections, but now it's going to be introduced from November. What's your reaction to it?
Yeah, well, good morning, Greg, and thanks for raising this topic. Yeah, look, we've had a couple of meetings with the Commissioner, Drew Harris, over this last couple of years, and we're talking about then there was the proposal that we would be amalgamated with Sligo Leitrim, and we had a battle with that there, and we felt that we won that battle then, and Donegal got to stand alone. And then slowly but surely it started filtering into that decision that we could possibly lose the superintendent in Milford area, and that would be subsumed into Letterkenny. And now we see the outworkings of that, in that Ballyshannon and Letterkenny are going to be the two district headquarters. And to be honest, I think that's a retrograde step. It's taking the Gardaí further away from the local communities. And I think we all would agree that the best policing services you're going to have is when that policing service is integrated and based in its local communities, and that it has a good working relationship. And the outworkings of that there are of many intelligence, good relations, you know, hundreds of pairs of eyes other than the Garda Síochána economy itself. You know, it has worked to date. I don't know why we have to change it. I think moving away from district headquarters into two headquarters for Letterkenny and Ballyshannon, the geographic size of Donegal alone would clearly tell you this is a no-no. It shouldn't happen. I would worry about Milford. I know they've said they're going to continue, that Milford is going to operate, but I would worry that it would operate on a 24-hour basis after a period of time. I also worry about when the Commissioner talked about having specialist units that would focus on certain aspects of crime, and while that's welcome, it's still your policing units, your presence needs to be in local communities, and as I say, I think it's a retrograde step. And I hope it's one that we can maybe overturn in a couple of months ahead. But I would find it difficult to fully believe that.
All right, let's go to Milford. Councillor Liam Blaney, you know, your reaction to the fear now that Milford District Garda Station will certainly close as a district station, but its sort of role in the community going forward.
Good morning, Greg. And, you know, to see them headlines and the Chicano Tribune here this morning that Milford's going to be downgraded or possibly be downgraded, and John Utah has his finger on the pulse anyway as far as them things is concerned. You know, it's a total disaster for this area. And I think if you compare it to, as what he's doing there, is comparing it to the likes of Lentis, the time it was downgraded. At one stage it was up to 45 Gardaí in Milford. Now, if you compare it to Glenties today, Glenties is 5 Gardaí on their station. And if you take it on a 12-hour shift, the majority of time there's only 1 guard on a 12-hour shift. And if there's a serious incident taking place anywhere, that guard has to wait till backup comes from other stations before they can leave that station to go out to it. And that's what we could be looking at in the Milford area.
Yeah, and of course,
a major step backwards, and we cannot stand and take it.
And of course, as you said, you know, I mean, John's spot on here. It is going to happen. It's coming in from November. I think really, rather than it being resisted, the conversation that seems to be happening with senior Gardaí here and from Dublin is how many divisional engagement areas there are. There are calls for 3 community divisional engagement areas. Dublin, I understand, are only giving 2. That's yet to be decided. They want, Gardaí centrally want Donegal South, Donegal North, with a super based in Buncrana. The business services would be based in Letterkenny, with a crime superintendent based there, which I think is seen as a good thing. And on it goes.
No,
right.
I'm not.
Okay, now we are going to bring into the conversation Brendan O'Connor, former president of the GRA. Brendan, good morning to you. Thanks for your time. You know, this has been in the works for quite some time. What's your take on it?
Well, Greg, look, we're trying to be positive, and we're supposed to embrace change and not always cling to the past. But unfortunately, the feedback from our members, particularly in divisions, rural divisions, is that this new model isn't particularly successful. Creates a lot of spreading resources more thinly. So what we're being asked to do is embrace a complete change in how policing is delivered at a time when the organisation nationally is struggling to maintain numbers. So, you know, the most basic thing that we need in a Gardaí corner is guards, and that's operational members that people see in the community. So our numbers are dropping. So to bring in this change is certainly, we don't believe it's opportune at this time because of the challenges on our members. So, and as alluded to there by previous speakers, the experience in Donegal of the removal of the staff at district headquarters has led to less visibility and less guards in communities. So I know the word, some people would argue that the word downgrading is inappropriate, but let's be realistic. It is a form of downgrading. And when Milford was at its strongest, it wasn't covering the parts of West Donegal like Dunloe and Bunbeg, which were under the old Glenties district. But also we have to remember that stations like Kerrykeel, Carrigart, Kilmacrenan, Churchill, all had their own autonomous stations there and guard stations. So now what we have is a skeleton crew in Milford covering a massive geographical area. Those stations are not manned, only on an occasional basis. But so now what we're seeing is, and let's say where I work in Dunfanaghy and Falkara, we rely on the district headquarters car to come out and supplement us. Now, we will actually have no working relationship anymore. The guards in Creasy will be relying on Ballyshannon as our district headquarters or our functional area. Now, people would say the old model is broken, it's archaic, it's ancient. It actually worked pretty well, and a lot of the guards that I speak to would say that even the downgrades in recent times have seen a dilution of service. So certainly, we don't have the confidence. Also, when this model was first rolled out and we were told that we were going to be joined with Sligo, which thankfully common sense would say that wouldn't work, the model that was unveiled in that time was 3 functional areas for Donegal. And now the kind of logic, or it hasn't been said officially, but is, look, you're getting to stay on your own as a division and keep a chief superintendent, make do with 2, this is the compromise, make do with 2 functional areas. But the geography of Donegal hasn't changed because we're no longer going in with 2 divisions. So certainly, we just think it's fewer resources spread more thinly. And there's guidelines for how many particularly inspectors are required to make this model work. We don't have them in Donegal. There's a talk about a better reliance on Garda staff to free up Gardaí. The Garda staff aren't there. The offices aren't there. The infrastructure. So what we're saying is, yeah, we have an open mind. We will embrace change. But this is now, the old thing is always the case in the guards. Force it through. Make it work. Sure, do your best. This is the policy. This is the strategy that's coming in. And the fear is that the authorities on high and the people in Dublin that don't really understand rural policing and certainly don't understand the uniqueness of Donegal will say, yeah, it's in and it's working.
And of course, we have seen what happens when we are given commitments of change and that it will improve things and we'll see more Gardaí out and about and it will free up patrols. And that evidently hasn't been the case. Also, too, and this is a probably not the most important element of this from the public's perspective. From a staff's perspective, presumably people will want to relocate, and trying to do that in the midst of a housing crisis too. That's certainly not factored into this whole debate. How big an issue that might be, I don't know.
No, it certainly is a factor. And the wider social pictures and things. Another thing that's also lost that isn't in this conversation is this model was first talked about a few years ago. Policing has even changed in those few years. The population has increased. The challenges are immense. We have the whole area of increased population. We have people from different backgrounds coming to communities. There's a little bit of tension. Might be overplayed, but some people are trying to exploit that. So there actually is a need for Gardaí in the communities with their fingers on the pulse. And what this is really moving towards is what's in other European countries, which is lose the uniqueness of an Gardaí corner. That's guards in the communities. It's going to be fewer Gardaí travelling further distances to deal with incidents. And then when the public have a problem, it could be a problem where the Gardaí need to discuss with the manager who has responsibility. I mean, is someone in Creaser and Fanny going to have to drive to Ballyshannon in the hope of meeting a superintendent when there was a superintendent in Milford, which is probably too far for the people in Dunloe? That was a downward step. But as I say, we're told is, look, it won't make any difference to Gardaí. You log on, you'll answer, you'll go to calls. But our whole way of working, our whole structures based around and our professional interactions is with our colleagues in Milford. And as I say, Lacker Bridge will now be a line on a map that never was, and we'll be looking in a different direction. That's from our own perspective where I'm stationed. But certainly there is a lack of confidence that this can work. And it's basically down to a lack of resources. The organisation is struggling with recruitment and retention, and this is not going to help and may actually drive out more of the senior Gardaí who are used to working in the old system and are going to look at this and say, this isn't working. I don't relate to it. And there's no proper analysis, and there's no look back, and there's no proper feedback from the people delivering people. So it's a rush decision. It's as usual. It comes down from on high, implement this, and certainly doesn't take into consideration the uniqueness of Donegal.
Okay, Councillor Jay McMonagle, I have not come across or haven't seen or haven't heard any public information, any argument, any discussion as to how this might actually benefit the people of Donegal, how that this might improve our response times, the availability of Garda, the visibility of Garda. I've seen nothing articulated to try and sell this to us, the wider public.
Regularly was raised at the GPC by councillors and the PPA.
Okay, we've lost your audio, Gerry. I'll come back to you in a second. I'll put the same question to you, Councillor Liam Blaney. You know, where is the articulation of what this actually means, you know, to the public? It's not. I don't see it.
When we have to rely on our media to inform us of what's happening as public representatives, first of all, it's not good enough. We should be part of the conversation, along with the Gardaí. I believe that the morale in the Gardaí is at a low, and I think this is definitely not going to help it. And as Brendan has said, but the numbers has been decreasing. It's going to drive more for older, experienced members of staff into retirement. And look, as far as I'm concerned, that's a total disaster, and we're going to have to fight this tooth and nail to ensure that it's increased to at least three divisions. And I don't think that we should be accepting this. And whenever you hear the likes of Lacker Bridge, the new Ballyshannon area coming over as far as Lacker Bridge, you know, how long will it take to drive from Lacker Bridge or Creasla or Defanny, as Brenda said, to Ballyshannon, or for the other way about either? I think it's just not good enough. And I don't think we should be accepting this, and we're going to have to fight it.
All right, Councillor Liam Blaney, thank you for that. Your connection's been restored there, Gerry. What were you going to say there? Just pick up from where you...
I was saying that... I mean, regularly at the Joint Policing Committees, the issue of Gardaí and the numbers of Gardaí, the availability of vehicles for the Gardaí was constantly raised. We've wrote to the Commissioner on many occasions about this. So we could see that the Gardaí were stretched, that local stations were closing down, that the service that communities would have been used to was no longer there. They were having to travel further distance. And I think Brendan hit the nail on the head in relation to this change. And as I say, we're not against change. But that change needs to be managed and managed properly. And it also has to be resourced. And we haven't got enough Gardaí as it is for Donegal. And we certainly, the resources, and Brendan's been very vocal on this in relation to cars, vehicles available to them at any given time. Now, with these smaller, with losing local districts and going into two major districts and them being the headquarters, it would surely say we would need more guards, we would need more vehicles, we would need further other resources, whether it be communications and all, they'd be working properly and in place before these changes were made. The other thing that they haven't taken account of is, obviously, they're aware of the geographic nature, but the border with the six counties is, you know, there's, I think, 73 or 78 crossing points along that border. We all know about the cross-border crime and the levels of it. And, you know, that hasn't been taken into account. So now, you know, we're Letterkenny and Ballyshannon, whether Ballyshannon would be close to the border with Letterkenny. But is West Donegal, is Northwest Donegal, is that going to suffer as a result of having more resources along the border? And not as many in Fannet, say.
But if I were, the reality of something like this, if I were a criminal, and I was interested in the movement and transportation of drugs, this would be like a Christmas present, you would feel, that, you know, this all this coastline, quick access to a border, so on and so forth, that it would make us a hotspot for this stuff. Stay where you are, and I have other people that I'm going to bring in, but I just want to put one other question to Brendan O'Connor. Garda Brendan O'Connor. Brendan, too, you know, like, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is, we're the last area, really, to sort of have this model implemented. And if that is the case, or even for one of the last, you know, we're not putting in the resources, the manpower, the vehicles and what have you to make this work. So with such a long lead in time, if we're not seeing sort of the resources that are required to operate this type of model, like if it's not happening now, it's never going to happen, surely. So we're trying to, as you've quite rightly said and others have said, we're going to go ahead with this anyway and just spread what we have even more thinly. That doesn't make sense because there's nothing to indicate why we should be reassured that this might work into the future.
No, we're not. And at the end of the day, this is government policy to implement this change. And that's what's driving it, I think. And the Garda Commissioner, in fairness, he was given this roadmap when he took up position. You see, this model, let's say, if you look at the Dublin Metropolitan South Central division, where it is rolled out pretty successfully, and you have a massive, brand new, multi-storey, huge, beautiful building in Kevin Street. You have Pier Street Station, which is probably 3 kilometres away from it. So you can move people, you can move roads, you can allocate it. But if you look at the likes of Mayo that's put into a 3-county division, and you'll see constant media reports of guards taking 40 minutes, an hour to travel to serious incidents. And then you look at the complete uniqueness of Donegal. At least Mayo, in fairness, have Galway beside them, where in an emergency situation. So it's just a lack of understanding. And as you say, when it's implemented, I mean, the guards that we speak to, they'll tell us it's not working. But there's no real look back or lessons learned or real input from people to say, is this working? And unfortunately, we hear a lot about cultural organisation, and you would think that cultural organisation, the only thing in the guards, is negative culture of guards having collegiality. But the reality is it's the organisation culture and the failure of managers to listen and to acknowledge problems and to deal with them. You'll always hear denial. So there's a failure to acknowledge problems with this. And we just have to look at the UK, where a similar model is rolled out. Response times, confidence, people never see police. They report crimes online and they get a reference number to give to an insurance company to make a claim. And there is a danger, and I'm not trying to scare my way, but there is a danger that the uniqueness of policing being embedded in communities and people knowing their local guard. And we're told that's it's a contradiction, because we're told we're moving back towards community policing. We had community policing in Donegal 20 years ago. We had 2-3 guards in every station. They're accessible to the public. They had their finger on the pulse. And now we're told we can have some buzzwords and some fancy terminology from another jurisdiction, and we've reinvented the wheel, and hey, this is the plan for policing. It's just a lack of common sense. But I mean, the people know that the guards aren't out there, and that the guards are out there can't do their job. So that's the nettles that needs to be grasped. But certainly, until it's properly resourced, we can't see it working. So I'm open-minded. We'll give it a chance, but with the current resourcing levels and the staff shortages, there's not no possibility of it working, I don't believe.
All right, thanks very much for that. I do appreciate it. Michael McClafferty, councillor, wishes to come in as well. Good morning, Michael. You're a member, of course, of the policing committee too. What's your reaction to what we've been hearing?
Thank you, Greg, and thanks for highlighting this this morning. The reaction is, Greg, this is total disaster just for West Donegal. That's what it is, as other members have alluded to there. Of course, like as you mentioned there, we have mentioned this many, many times at the JPC through our chair there, Jerry McMonagall, and our dissatisfaction of what's about to take place and going to go on here. The area is far, far too big, Greg, to close into any Garda stations. The Garda stations that have been closed over recent years is regrettable. And obviously they're not going to come back because some of them are sold off and whatnot. But I do believe that the likes of Milford should be held on to and are still there as an active working station. Expecting Gardaí or to come from Ballyshannon to down here, Christopher or Fanny Fulgar, whatever, or likewise expecting people from here to go up to Ballyshannon, it's not possible. It's not practical. It's not practical either way. Something happens down here and you're depending then, or even at the Kenny, depending on the Gardaí coming from another Kenny, you're a good half hour away at least. At least, Greg, and even with the best intentions, hammer her driving the car going down the road as a respect with the RD with the lights flashing. They have bad roads to contend with, they have corners to contend with, they have traffic, they have tracks, one thing another. They're not going to get here anytime soon. And if something's happening here in the emergency, the time they land, the perpetrators of a criminal act is such a burglary, whatever, a break-in, some other kind of criminal damage.
Michael, is it not the case, though, that you know all Garda vehicles and all Garda staff won't be based in these centres as such? Was the sale of this model to us not that these patrol cars would be freed up to be sort of driving around the districts and hope that they would be close to an emergency? I mean, that was what we were kind of being told.
Don't believe it's going to be the case, Greg, to be quite honest, which is the way things are going. Because when you hear their Garda Brett or Connor saying there about lack of staff in various respective roles, if there's lack of staff at the minute, how's people going to get freed up to drive around patrol cars and so on if there's lack of staff at the minute and some senior roles there, very important roles as well as the, every role is important, obviously. But you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? Like, if they have to be attached to the office, they're not going to have the time to be out driving about in the patrol car, patrolling the areas, as most people would like, to be fair, to give a living thing.
Councillor McClafferty, you'll be resisting it by the sounds of things. I do appreciate it. So just to give us an insight, Jerry McMonagall, as chair of the the JPC, how is it argued at these meetings that Buncrana, Carndonagh is policed out of Letterkenny? Is it articulated to you guys actually how that works, or how Creasley is policed out of Ballyshannon?
No, but them the issues we have raised with the commissioner and the police authority. And what we're getting back is, look, this model of work, this is going to free up more Gardaí, it's going to put more Gardaí on the beat, make more resources available to local communities. And, you know, we're finding that very hard, have found it very hard to believe because of the experiences that we were living. So we could just, we're trying at every opportunity, and we met Drew Harris at some of the police authority meetings. We got him up to Donegal. We spoke to the mayor. We sent letters back and forwards. But they were convinced that the model would work. And as Breton says, that's fine when you're in a city and you have a spine there of good roads, good transport, and the areas are close together. But we're sitting here, and even with Letterkenny, and you have to go now to Fannet. We have the coastline, as you mentioned, Greg. We have the border, and we already have depleted resources. We have not got a full complement of Gardaí for the area that they have to cover. The other very good point that Brent made was the growing population, the diversity that's within our county now, and that needs to be reflected in all the services that we provide here in Donegal, but particularly in the Garda Síochána, that there needs to be that diversity as well. Mm. But the recruitment isn't happening. The conditions for Gardaí at the minute are not attractive. So they're having difficulty, as we have raised on this programme in recent times around recruitment and having enough recruits to go out there. So there's major difficulties with this. And what we should have done is had the resources in place and then looked about implementing the new model. But until we have those resources, I think this is bound to fail. And there will be regular people on your radio station talking about waiting for an hour for Gardaí. We see it with the ambulance service. We centralised all of that, and we're people are waiting now for ambulance services for over an hour at times.
And that's because these ambulances have to often respond from crazy locations to
exactly.
other locations. Not to mention our calls are already being routed through Galway as well.
We have already seen the change in models and how they cope with the geography of the county, and we just need to get real. We should have had the resources in place and then introduced the. And the other point that Brenton made was around inspectors and sergeants. And the commissioner put great store in that we would put, there'd be more local autonomy, that there'd be more inspectors, there'd be more sergeants. But we haven't got them. We haven't got the ordinary guard either we need to implement this model. So there's going to be very trying times
ahead.
But
what is the fight now? Is the fight to keep Milford? Is that is the best we can hope to achieve, if the truth be told?
Well, I think that we should be starting with that. And we need to ensure that Inishowen is
like Buncrana is the size of a counter. Yeah, exactly.
Louse.
Yeah.
You know,
and, but I still don't understand. Would any guards actually be based in Buncrana, like parking the cars up, going to work from there, police in Buncrana, or would that all be operated out of Letterkenny? Pardon my ignorance.
Well, we've been trying for quite a while now to get the Cairn Donagh station reinstated, and I'd say that's gone now, and so everything's going to work out of Buncrana. I mean, Inishowen is going to be sorely depleted.
Is that going to be 24/7?
Well, that's what it's looking like.
Right.
That Buncrana keeps its superintendent and it'll be operational as it is now. But it's a massive area. It's the whole of Inishowen, as I say, it's a geographic size of County Louth. And I'd say if you had the Louth Garda model, if that could be transferred into Inishowen, they'd be very pleased. Yeah. But it won't be.
Okay. Michael, quick comment from you, if you don't mind. You're concerned, are you?
Well, Greg, I'm just listening to your commentaries on, and, you know, this has been coming for a long time, because, you know, there's something bigger at play here. And I know some of your speakers there mentioned different things, but I think what's going to happen with Donegal especially, and some of the rural counties, is going to be an explosion of the population. And there has been an explosion in the population, and the resources hasn't been there to meet the explosion. And now, since the EU migrant pact has been passed there yesterday, it's going to be, and I don't want to sound all doom and gloom here, but I think, you know, it's coming down the line, and with the resources has been cut, and it's going to be terrible for us in rural Ireland anyway, because all of the resources is going to be centralised in and around Dublin and the major cities, and the rural counties like Donegal is going to be depleted, and almost everything, which has been happening over for years and years and years. And, you know, we've had public representatives, you know, and they can come on and they can talk a good talk and they can do whatever they do. But, you know, for the last 5-10 years, this has been happening in rural counties in Ireland, and our public representatives have completely failed. You know, we've seen all the resources being drained, like on a daily basis, and you've had public representatives coming on from the same political parties, and they've set in their hands and they've let it happen, and they come on, and there's the same rhetoric all the time whenever something like this happens. They spout the same stuff, but, you know, I would call them no action men at all, because they don't do anything at all. All they do is talk.
But do you believe, really? I mean, that's the system, though, Michael, really, to some extent. And I'm not saying it's just talk, talk, talk. It's lobbying, it's raising issues. It doesn't matter who you elect on to Donegal County Council, if the truth be told. A lot of this stuff is out of our control. All we can do is use positions on committees and debate and discuss it and campaign. This is not even a Garda decision. This is a government decision that the Garda are being asked to implement.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think the councillors in Donegal and the public representatives in Donegal should stand, together and on a block, to, you know, for to get the resources back into Donegal again. You know, there's obviously there's always division between different political parties within the council or whatever, and I understand they haven't got any teeth, you know, so it makes you wonder why we even vote for them in the first place.
Okay.
Because they haven't got any teeth. So I would like to think, you know, it's going to be the same talk, and what's coming down the line for Donegal, we can get prepared for it, because yesterday changed an awful lot of stuff in Ireland, and I don't think even the public representatives, they're even scared to talk about it. But there's a tsunami coming, and, you know, I don't know what's going to be the end of it, and we haven't got the resources to cope with it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's all right, Michael. Thank you very much indeed. Time to start storing the baked beans and peas, I think. Do you want a quick response to that before we wrap up, Jerry McMonagall?
No, I just did reassure Michael that we'll continue to lobby for what's best for Donegal and its people. We'll continue to do that there. And we raise an awful lot of issues, and we do make progress with some of them. But like you say, Greg, a lot of this is down to government policy and government decisions. And people want to have changes to that, then they need to stop voting in the parties that are holding government in this country for the last 100 years, because then they might get some change.
All right, we shall see. Take care of yourself. Thank you very much, Councillor Jay McMonagall, Chair of the Joint Policing Committee. Thanks to Brendan O'Connor, Michael McClafferty, Liam Blaney as well, and our listener, Michael.